When we speak, let it be of blessing and gratitude. Let your glory within us shine out to the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So right before Advent started, the clergy got together to discuss what we were going to do for Lent because it starts so early this year. So Dixon had this great idea that we would preach a sermon series on the Sermons on the Mount from Matthew instead of reading the Luke Gospel, which is in the lectionary. So with a little encouragement from him, we agreed to do it. Now, we each have one section because he divvied it all up. And there are five sections, so Dixon will conclude it on the 13th of March. So guess what my topics are today? Murder, adultery, divorce. Happy Valentine's Day.
You're welcome.
So I was not too sure about this, preaching about adultery, murder, and divorce on the day we celebrate St. Valentine's and love. So I'm going to do the only logical thing. When we hear these hard sayings of Jesus, I'm going to avoid talking about them. And after all, Dixon already talked about the hard sayings of Jesus last spring in the Rector's Forum, and I'm sure you all remember what he said about it, right? So a little bit about chapters 5-7 in Matthew's Gospel called the Sermon on the Mount. It's the first and lengthiest of five speeches by Jesus, but scholars agree that it's a compilation of sayings by Jesus rather than a single sermon. And it's rooted in the Old Testament. Jesus quotes Isaiah a lot in it. And in our story, it takes place at the beginning of Jesus' ministry and begins with the Beatitudes that Dixon read. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who mourn. They are really the foundation of righteous living. The famous metaphors of salt and light begin today's section, and very soon we get to Jesus' main point, where he emphasizes the importance of the law, but also the higher demands of being one of his disciples. Then follows the specifics on murder, adultery, and divorce. And in the weeks that follow, we'll also hear about retaliation and loving enemies and practicing piety and the Lord's prayers in there and forgiveness and judging and seeking and when the storms of life come. So all of this put together, it seems to me, really points fingers at us because it's sort of laying the whole guilt of Lent on us. And all of it gives some specificity to what living the life of a disciple should look like. Now, paying attention to the specifics is important because Jesus is trying to teach us a few things. He means for us to listen, whether we were disciples in the first century in Israel or in the 21st today. And at the time Jesus spoke to his disciples, the Roman Empire occupied Israel, and there was a lot of political and religious anxiety on the part of the Jewish people who had been scattered and oppressed. And the different groups there had various responses. They either collaborated with the empire, or they fought the empire, or they went off by themselves in seclusion. Not so different from responses today. And against all this anxiety, Jesus was proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and teaching about what that would look like. Jesus was preaching not so much in the context of sin or human pettiness as he was in the context of the kingdom, in the abundance of God's righteousness. That is why I want to take a slightly different look at the Sermon on the Mount and not preach on murder, adultery, and divorce. Because the section today begins with this: you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before others. Jesus already tells us that we are salt and light. We are precious in the eyes of God. God's grace and love is fundamental to all. And people are of great value to God, just like salt was rare and valuable, almost like gold. And we can be reflectors of the light of God. But we have to be taught what that might look like in the kingdom, because as much as we are God's salt and light already, we humans have a huge learning curve. So we are salt and light, but now we have to be salt and light. A number of years ago, the Bishop of Southern Ohio made Christ Church Parish, downtown Cincinnati, the cathedral for the diocese. Its first dean, Jim Leo, always said this: "We have been made the cathedral for this diocese, but now you have to learn to be the cathedral for this diocese." And it's always a process of growth and learning, and thankfully, God's not finished with any of us yet. So let your light shine before others. Billy Strayhorn once wrote, "Salt and light are the language of God, of grace and of hope and love. And when this language is translated into action, it becomes the most beautiful language ever spoken. We're called to be salt and light and to speak the language of God as we live our faith." That's the invitation of this particular passage today, and it's really the 30,000-foot view invitation of the whole Sermon on the Mount. To let our light shine as disciples of Jesus is to live in a way that shows forth the presence of God's kingdom in a world that at times is full of darkness. To give glory to God is by being light in the world. Being light in the world was a familiar phrase to those who had studied the law and the prophets. In Isaiah, God called Israel to be a light to the nations so that all people can be blessed. The people who were in Matthew's community were to be a light in the first century, and we are to be the same kind of light today, both individually and corporately as church in our communities and beyond. How are we to do that? One way is by doing things that spread God's mercy, love, and justice. And the other part of letting our light shine is so others may see our good works and give glory to God. But a word of caution: it is not about earning our way into God's kingdom, but that the things we do are our responses to receiving the gifts of God's kingdom, which are many and are found right here. It's not so much that this gospel is a rule of life for ethical behavior, although Jesus is radically reinterpreting the law in light of the kingdom, but more that the invitation is for us to be imaginative, loving, and responsible with the gifts and with others. The thing is, when Jesus taught the Beatitudes by saying things like, "Blessed are the poor," and "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst," he was describing a much different world than people expected, a much different way of being with others in God's kingdom. The disciples and people were so focused on the law that they couldn't get beyond it in its sometimes narrower way of thinking. Tom Schumann once wrote, "We admit, we bow in superstition, we will throw salt over our shoulders, but it's hard to find flavor in a world made bland by the ordinary. We dim our gifts to save energy instead of shining as long as we can into society's shadowed corners. We skip a meal once a week to show our faith, but are unable to see those who go through the dumpster to feed their children." So Jesus made it clear that he has not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But he just raises the bar for us on living as disciples with his Sermon of the Mount teachings. And all of our human relationships are to be based on love and mutual respect. So let your light shine before others. I was reading something by James Martin in a book of Lenten meditations the other day that struck me. He said that when Jesus points out sin, It's not so much about people trying hard to avoid sinning, but about people who aren't bothering to love. Don't worry so much about where you are already trying and keep failing, but take a look at the places and times when you're not even bothering. And that's the trouble, because sometimes we are indifferent, and that can be so non-reflective of the light of Christ, just like hiding our light under a bushel. So we are invited to bother in the name of Jesus, and Lent is a good time to take stock of all that. We perhaps, as salt of the earth, are the catalyst that helps things burn, lights things up, and the images of salt and fire lead to the second image of light, which is to shine forth from us and not be hidden. God created light first in all of the cosmos and is the source of all light. And just as reflectors on the roadside need headlights in order to shine, so also do we need to reflect the light of God in order to shine forth. So let your light shine before others. What will we bother to do for others this Lent and beyond? What will we bother to do for love? What will we bother to do as practices that benefit others? How will we bother to bring precious salt into a hurting world? How will we bother to bring our light into all the places where darkness exists, walking through it so that the light can shine through? In the Rector's Forum today, I talked about the spiritual discipline of fasting. The prophet Isaiah makes this clear. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice? To let the oppressed go free? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring homeless poor into your house? But these are no ordinary fasts. These are fasts of decrease so that we can be salt and light in the world, fasting from things such as regrets or indifference so that we can bother to bring the feast beyond of love and hope, of grace and healing to all whom we encounter. We are invited to bother about others, to let mercy be our deepest way of seeing and acting and shining, to have a generosity of spirit based on love, and to not withhold or hoard ourselves. And then we shall be like a watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail, repairers and restorers and light bearers in the world. Amen.